Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, changemakers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by the Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp, using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. VSAC helps students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training with education and career planning services, need-based grants, scholarships, low-cost education loans, and Vermont's official 529 college savings plan. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Norwich Solar Technologies, providing complete clean energy services to Vermont schools, towns, nonprofits, and businesses. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as the Green Mountain Club. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable child care in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. And nearly 700 VBSR business members who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Learn more at www.vbsr.org. Welcome to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Around the country, rural areas are struggling. What are the opportunities for rural Vermont? We're going to spend the hour this week looking at this question with two different guests who will offer different perspectives. Later in the show, we'll speak with Adam Grinold, who is president of the Regional Development Corporations of Vermont and also head of the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation. But first, we're going to spend the first half hour with Matt Dunn. He is the founder and executive director of the Center on Rural Innovation, whose mission is to, quote, build a network of rural innovation hubs to spark the revival of small towns across America. Matt Dunn served 11 years in the Vermont House and Senate. He was also the associate director of the Rockefeller Center on Public Policy at Dartmouth College. And in 1999, Matt was appointed director of AmeriCorps Vista under President Clinton. And of course, many Vermonters know him as having been a candidate for both lieutenant governor and governor. Matt Dunn, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks, David. Great to be on.
So tell us about the Center on Rural Innovation, or CORI, that you have founded and are now running.
So the Center on Rural Innovation was created to address the rural opportunity gap that our nation is facing. And it's a phenomenon that we haven't really seen before in our country. Rural and urban areas pretty much tracked each other in terms of economic performance, sometimes one doing a little better, sometimes one doing a little worse. But since the recession, there's been a huge divergence where cities have rallied incredibly well and are growing fast, and some could argue with some implications associated with that. Rural areas have remained pretty much at the level that they fell to after the recession. And there were a few drivers to that. One was that traditional rural industries automated very, very quickly around that time of, 2009, 2010. And so the types of recovery that we saw across the economy didn't necessarily lead to jobs in rural areas. Globalization allowed for, rapid prototyping in China just as easily as in a more rural part of the country, which has been a big part of the manufacturing base. And that created the closure or at least downsizing of many of the traditional manufacturing economic drivers in rural America. And then the final was that entrepreneurship has been dropping in rural places over the last 30 years, even in proportion to population, so at a much faster rate than it has in urban areas. So what we got off the ground was an organization that we refer to as an action tank to be able to address that. And on the tank side, we aggregate data on rural economic indicators as well as assets, like where there's fiber to the home that's been built by scrappy communities, just figuring out how to create that kind of infrastructure, to where there are institutions of higher education, whether they're four-year endowed colleges or two-year community colleges, and also things like new market tax credit zones or opportunity zones that allow for incentives to have follow-on investment and those kinds of things. So we take that data and then we surface it for policymakers, philanthropists, and investors to look for ways that they can have a bigger impact on rural. And then on the action side, we're actually out there supporting communities that want to build economies that are a little more future-proof. So because automation and the decline in entrepreneurship were major drivers, our feeling is that we should take some ownership over that in rural America. So we're focusing on computer science education, both in high schools as well as adults. We're also focused on entrepreneurship centers that are intentionally helping individuals who are trying to start scalable technology companies so that there can be more locally owned and connected companies that are doing the employment, and then helping support the places and spaces where that can all take place in co-work spaces and live work setups and that kind of thing. We started with a pilot in Springfield, Vermont, and then thanks to a cooperative agreement from the Economic Development Administration, we're now working with 9 communities across the country in 8 states and 3 time zones who have all had this kind of concept in their strategic plan, and we're helping to accelerate it and then creating a community of practice so that the individuals who are leading these efforts have people to share, you know, best practices with, and to be able to aggregate their talent and their startups to encourage employers to engage and hire people remotely, as well as investors to invest in those companies.
So tell us what you're doing in Springfield, Vermont.
Sure. So Springfield, as I hope most listeners know, had an incredible history of innovation and technology. It was the center of the machine tool industry in the nation, and for 40 years had the highest per capita income in the state of Vermont. And then machine tool left, and it left unceremoniously and really for good around 2000, and the community struggled to get its footing back after that. But the assets that were there, the incredible buildings and the downtown and the houses that are all still there. There's the Black River that has 1.3 megawatts of renewable energy that's being produced on it right now. And Vermont Telephone Company got a federal stimulus grant to bring fiber to every home and building, providing up to 10 gigabits of symmetrical broadband, which is the fastest internet in the country. The problem was nobody really knew about it. And so what we've been doing is putting together the resources to stand up an entrepreneurship center to be able to bring individuals who have new companies that they're getting started that can leverage that really fast broadband to get them rolling. We've also raised money to support the school district to have a strong computer science education program. And we're also funding Marguerite Dibble, who some of you know is just an amazing Vermont story and technologist, to help build summer camps specifically focused on girls in computer science. And then we're in the process of hopefully redeveloping the old Park Street School building to be the home of that entrepreneurship center and computer science education. And then finally, we're doing adult computer science education in a partnership with Flatiron School, which provides full-stack developer training over 6 months. And they do it through an income-sharing agreement so that people don't need to actually pay for the course until they get a job in computer science on the far end. So we're pulling all those pieces together. We've raised almost $2 million for the initiative and hired an executive director named Trevor Barlow, and it's been exciting.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're talking in this half hour with Matt Dunn, who is the founder and director of the Center on Rural Innovation, and he's telling us about what's going on in Springfield, but also nationally. Matt, how did you settle on Springfield as the place to kind of pilot these ideas?
Well, Springfield has always been a community that has fascinated me. And I grew up in Windsor County, and it was, as a kid, it was a go-go town. I mean, there was all kinds of things happening in it. There was these amazing candlepin bowling centers with these home-cooked-up ways of getting the pins back. There were, you know, restaurants and all kinds of activity. And so it's always had a strong place in my heart. I was then the state senator for Windsor County, and it was part of the district. And that was during a time when it was starting to struggle. And so, you know, have good relationships with people there. And then, you know, read about the broadband deployment. And I was at Google at the time, and was part of the Google Fiber initiative. So knew just the special kind of asset that they were building there, and felt strongly there had to be a way to leverage that, to be able to find a new trajectory, for some of the economy in Springfield. So Bob Flint reached out to me after the gubernatorial run and said, hey, we've been talking about this for a long time. Why don't we see if we can do something about it? And Bob is the fantastic and tireless head of the Economic Development Authority in southern Windsor County. So we got started. We started doing research on what were some of the best practices. I was definitely tapping into the experiences I had, working at Google on computer science education and some of the folks in that world. I just felt Springfield was absolutely perfect, again, because it had the incredible building assets, it had that fiber, and it had a community that was that knew that its past was steeped in technology and was willing and ready to explore their future.
So are there any results from this experiment that you can point to at this point that are promising?
Sure. We're still quite early in this process. So I would say that there are a couple of results that we can point to. One of them is just being able to get foundations and some folks in the federal government to actually focus on rural communities as technology locations. In the 90s, when I was a part-time legislator, my career outside of it was with a software company based in Wilder, Vermont, that served the commercial printing industry. And the company grew to over 100 employees. So it never occurred to me that people would think that a rural place, was somewhere where you couldn't do technology and software and create those kinds of high-paying jobs. But the national narrative is actually quite strong against that, the assumption that you can only do this kind of work in densely populated urban areas. So we had to do some real evangelism, convincing people that Springfield was a place that could have that future. And we were fortunate that eventually we got entities like the Kauffman Foundation, which is a national foundation focused on entrepreneurship, the Siegel Family Endowment, and eventually the Economic Development Administration to put the resources out there to allow us to get this off the ground. and hire someone like Prevor, who's from Springfield originally, had a tech career in Colorado, and was so excited to come home to help build out this capacity. We also have people who've been taking the summer computer science program as students, which has been exciting to watch, as well as people who have enrolled in the full-stack developer training program. We have five people who are right now going through that, and they'll be done around the January-February timeframe. And we're excited to be able to connect them with employers, both locally or possibly on a remote basis, and start to build out that that community of programmers.
Where do the graduates of these, you know, local opportunities in Springfield, are there the jobs in that region that will keep them there?
There are, and there are in the immediate term. So Newsbank is right down in Chester, and have been quite vocal about how they've been having to hire tech talent out of state, even though they're headquartered in Vermont, because they haven't been able to find the employees. So they're excited to see the products of this. But there's also other kinds of companies that you wouldn't think of as being technology-based, like Mascoma Savings Bank has a really large tech team, and they're having to grow that. So they've also expressed interest. And there are other software companies that are straight-up software companies like Green River Technologies, that's a little south of Springfield, Chroma Technologies, which is an optical lens company, but they've got lots of space for programmers and coders, and they've actually invested in the overall program themselves, making a contribution. So there's certainly demand in the short term, but that's why we're also working on supporting the entrepreneurs and being able to start right now to develop the employers of the future. And so the other one that jumps to mind is Image Relay, which was founded in Weston, Vermont. And they have been growing quite quickly, and they want to stay in Windsor County. And so this provides an opportunity for folks to be able to work from co-work space in Springfield, but for a Vermont, you know, created tech company.
Talk a little bit, Matt, about the opportunity zones. I know you have launched an opportunity zone fund. What are they?
So opportunity zones came out of the last federal tax bill, and it was an attempt to be a follow-on to the New Market Tax Credit law. That was a Clinton administration initiative to try to encourage investment in areas that are struggling economically. But opportunity zones, even though they use the same footprint as the New Market Tax Credit geographies or the census tract, is a very different mechanism. And what it does is that it says to someone who invests in a operating business or real estate in one of these designated zones that the governor was able to select, that they first get to defer capital gains on the money that they put into the fund. So if they have a capital gain liability because they've sold an asset or stock or whatever else, they don't have to pay that capital gain for a period of, as long as they have it in that fund over a period of time. And then anything that they get out of that fund at the far end, so the return from that, is tax-free, which can be a big deal, especially if you have a successful fund on the higher end. The companies need to be based in those opportunity zones, in those geographies, or they can be spread out over multiple opportunity zones. And the same with the real estate that's located there. And Springfield is in an opportunity zone.
You're breaking up a little there, Matt, and you're... Okay, now you're back.
Better? Okay. So the other community is an opportunity zone And one of the things that we heard loud and clear was that there is a gap in capital for early stage companies in rural. And so we felt it was important and were encouraged by some impact investors to go ahead and stand up a fund that could make investments using that tax treatment in early stage companies in these locations, including in Springfield.
What do you think? You've chosen it. This is a national initiative, but you're headquartered in Vermont. What do you think Vermont, that other places can learn from what's happening in Vermont?
You know, Vermont leads the way so frequently in breaking the traditional assumption about what can happen and what can't happen. In fact, Vermont is now well ahead of many of the other rural states on broadband deployment. It has also been a state that recognized that value-added agriculture was critical, way ahead of the curve. And I think because Vermont has proximity to big tech hubs like Boston, New York, and Montreal, for that matter, as well as a really strong higher education community that has technology and computer science as components of it, it has the chance to show that this kind of entrepreneurship and innovation can happen even in smaller markets. And I also look at, you know, the work that Dave Bradbury's been doing up at BSET. You know, Burlington was seen as a community that should be too small to be able to do that kind of work, even though it is a city. And he's proven that a strong co-work space to create those virtuous collisions, as well as a great mentor base, and then inviting investors, can create a vibrant technology community. And he's now sharing that across the state. They've got an office in Middlebury and elsewhere. So we're trying to just build on that same kind of Vermont ingenuity that's just making it happen. I would say the other thing that I always point to as an example is White River Junction, Vermont, where I spend a lot of my time outside of my, you know, formal jobs working on redevelopment and placemaking. And for those who remember White River Junction in the 90s, it was a pretty tough place that lots of folks have given up on. And today, thanks to the work of some incredible unofficial leaders going and starting things and creating creative activities, as well as encouraging, you know, techies and artists to all aggregate there, it's doing great. And so that's a real inspiration for me doing the work in Springfield and doing the work across the country.
You know, it strikes me in White River Junction, you know, which is, I think there was a profile of it, and it was either the Boston Globe or the New York Times, how it was this, you know, town that had undergone a revival and a renaissance, that a lot of it was not necessarily about technology, but about community. So Say a little bit about that. Where does community factor into the renaissance that you're describing?
Community is absolutely critical, and I think the White River Junction experience was, you know, foundational to being able to understand how it interplays with economic development and growth. I mean, a lot of our work early on in White River was with theater, was the White River Theater Festival, and then later Northern Stage. It was leveraging Catamount Brewery, which was right in the heart of the downtown, and created a lot of community as well as lovely libations. And it was about creating a scene that was interesting, that was welcoming, and that encouraged the free flow of ideas. And so that's absolutely critical to the kind of work that we're doing. We don't talk about it as much because it is already in the places where we are going. So Springfield already has a brewery, Trout River Brewery, and its tap room. They've got a great bistro that just reopened. They have a coffee roaster that's come into town and just making magnificent espresso and now selling and distributing across the state. And you've got those pieces of vitality happening, but you also need to be working on creating the opportunity for people to be able to live and work there at the same time. So the two absolutely go together, and we're counting on the community to do a lot of that work on creating the energy locally, while we're focusing on creating the job opportunities for people who get excited about what's happening in Springfield to come on, either come back, so sometimes people coming home, or to come into the area or just take advantage of those jobs if they're in Springfield right now.
Okay. Well, Matt Dunn, I want to thank you so much for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation and telling us what you're up to.
David, thank you. Two quick things. If people want to know about what's happening in Springfield, they can go to brickvt.org. It's BRICVT.org, which is for Black River Innovation Campus. Or the work that we're doing here at CORI is at ruralinnovation.us.
Okay. Well, thanks again. Matt Dunn is the founder and executive director of the Center on Rural Innovation, whose mission is to, quote, build a network of rural innovation hubs to spark the revival of small towns across America. We're going to take a short break for the news, and we'll be back to continue our Vermont conversation. Stay tuned.